Well, good morning to each of you. Greetings of love in the name of Jesus. I want to thank you for your input in my life, especially this morning. There has been many of you that have touched me this morning by your friendship, by your handshake, by the way that you talk to me, and also the singing, the devotional that that Brother Truman shared. It moved me this morning, and I marvel at God's hand in this service. It is very evident to me that God is working in today. And the Sunday school lesson that Brother Lamar taught, and all each one of you contributed to that, and it all just seemed like it flows into what is on my heart and what I felt led to preach on this morning. Turn on your Bibles to James chapter 4. The title of the message is A Submitted Heart. As you look inside your heart and life this morning, would you say that you are a living example of someone that is submitted? Is submission something that radiates out of your life? Most of all to God, but also to each other as a church family. Someone has said that the word submission and surrender may be negative words for many of us. Spiritually speaking, submission and surrender are not only positive, but they are essential. So as you think about submission on a personal level, think about it as it being essential to your Christian life. What is submission? Slavery, bondage, or servitude? Absolutely not. The spiritual discipline that God desires to become a habit in our hearts, in your hearts, is one that seeks to constantly and continuously offer our obedience, our support, and our wholehearted investment in the work of ministry and service, which honors and glorifies God. As you seek to serve the Lord, don't neglect the way of submission. And that is a quote. It is not slavery. It is not bondage. It is not servitude. It is a habit of my heart, of your heart, that we need to have. James 4, we're going to start in verse number 5. Do you think the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be afflicted, and mourn, and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgest another? So we're talking about a submitted heart this morning. God is calling us. He's asking us. He's requiring us to submit ourselves to Him. And I wonder if we would save ourselves a lot of grief and a lot of stress and a lot of broken relationships if we would simply get this figured out on a personal level, that we submit ourselves to Almighty God in every area of our life. A definition here of this word submit or submission or submitted is to voluntarily giving in, cooperating, assuming responsibility, and carrying a burden. That is a definition of the word submit. Strong's gives us a meaning of to put oneself under or in subjection to or to obey. In Titus, I believe it is chapter 2, verses 5 and 9, the word submit is translated into the word obey. So keep that in mind as we go through here. So back to our text here in James chapter 4. As we consider the thought of a submitted heart, of an obedient heart, of a surrendered heart, it kind of all runs together. Verse 5 here, it says, "Do you think that the Scripture saith in vain, the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy?" This is a problem that you and I are going to have. If you have never struggled with being submitted to God, I question whether or not you've ever accepted Christ, or you even know what it means to be a Christian, because this is a struggle. "Do you think that the Scripture saith in vain, the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy?" A.W. Tozer says, "The reason why many are still troubled, still seeking, still making little forward progress is because they haven't yet come to the end of themselves. We're still trying to give orders and interfering with God's work within us." And I don't know how that resonates with you this morning, but that is a struggle that I have. We want to be in charge. We want to be involved in what we do or don't do. We're still making little progress because I have yet to come to the end of myself. Remember, according to the Scriptures, according to life, a submitted heart is not normal. It's totally against our carnal nature and our selfish desires. By nature, we're proud. By nature, we're self-seeking. We want our way. We want to be in charge. We want to be lifted up. Another quote I have here this morning is, "The obsession to demand that things go the way I want them to go is one of the greatest bondages of human society." Think about that quote. The obsession to demand that things go the way we want them to go is one of the greatest bondages in human society. That's not Bible, that's a quote. But think about that this morning as you consider your heart and where you're at in submission. Another quote, "Submission is the freedom that comes from surrender." The discipline of submission frees us. Think about that. Frees us from self-centeredness and allows us to consider the desires of others. Freedom. Freedom from submission. Submission has nothing to do with being weak. It allows us to be strong enough to open our hearts to others. So do you think that the Scripture saith in vain, this is going to be a struggle, this is going to be something you and I got to work with? I believe we all would agree that it is. Verse number 6, "But he giveth more grace." A submitted heart can only come through the grace of God working in our hearts and in our lives. Quote, "Truly godly submission is a personal and intentional choice. It does not involve coercion, intimidation, force, threat, pressure, or obligation. To submit to God requires faith and trust in the one to whom we are offering our obedience and submission. And we can offer our submission to him because our God is faithful and true. He only requires of us," note this is a quote, not Bible, "He only requires of us what will give him glory, accomplish his plans and purposes, and allow him to offer us the benefit of blessings from him." And this goes so well with what Brother Truman shared this morning. To submit to God requires faith and trust in the one we are offering our obedience and submission. And verse 7 says, "Submit yourselves, therefore, to God." Who are you submitted to this morning? Who are you surrendered to? Who are you living under this morning? The command is, "Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. We have a call here. And again, remember, I believe at the heart of a lot of our problems in life is a lack of submission to Almighty God. I would like for you to pull out your hymn books and go to the song, Blessed Assurance. I don't have that number right offhand. Does anybody remember that number? Number 497 in the Zion's Praises. Fanny Crosby was the writer of this hymn. And if I understand it right, when she wrote this hymn, you know, we know that she was blind from an infant. And in that time, in that era, being blind was much more difficult than would be today, if I understand it right. And I know in part what it's like to be blind. If I take my contacts out that I have in my eyes, I could see. I couldn't tell who Jesse was. I'm legally blind without my contacts. I know in part. But I can stick my contacts in and I can see everybody, even Jonathan on the back. I can see everybody clearly. But here she was blind and she wrote this hymn. Verse number 2, it says, perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending bring from above echoes of mercy, whispers of love. Verse number 3, perfect submission, all is at rest. I in my Savior am happy and blessed, watching and waiting, looking above, filled with His goodness, lost in His love. This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. And I marvel as she wrote that chorus that she said it twice. She said perfect submission twice. She said, this is my story, this is my song, praising, she said it twice. When you find yourself, wherever you find yourself in life, is perfect submission a part of your hymn that you're writing about your life? Is my all on the altar? Am I open to His perfect plan for my life? Does Christ have such a meaningful presence in my life that through the blindness of circumstances or health or pain or fight, whatever it is, that I can sing with a conviction, all is at rest, perfect delight? Can we look through the clouds and the wind and the rain and the unfairness of life, the pain of loss, the suffering, and sing visions of rapture now burst on my sight? Someone that has never saw anything in her life writing a hymn about perfect submission, visions of rapture. Is that your testimony this morning? She goes on to write here for the second one, all is at rest. Perfect submission, all is at rest. As you think about your life personally and your heart personally, is all at rest with God? A submitted heart is a heart that is at rest and a heart that is open before God. And that is a challenge that I was challenged with again as I thought about my life, my interest, my motives, my attitudes, whatever it may be, my sin, my struggle, whatever I find myself dealing with week after week, is all at rest. Am I submitted to God? Verse 7 continue on there, it says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Submit yourself to God and then resist the devil and he will flee from you. Do you claim that this morning in your struggle with your temptations, whatever they may be? Do you resist the devil and do you realize that he is leaving you alone because you have submitted yourself to God. We talked about this in Sunday school, and it was a powerful discussion about how we view affliction and how we view temptation, and what if we're at peace and what if we're not, and where does that leave us? But the Bible says to resist the devil and he will flee from you. Right after it says, submit to God. Verse number 8, it says, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. You know, this morning it is a choice whether or not you and I have a heart that is submitted to God. It is our choice. We've been given direction that if we will simply, and I call it simply because I believe it is, if we will draw nigh to God, he will draw nigh to us. I don't know if that encourages you the amount it does me, but if we make a choice to draw nigh to God, he will draw nigh to us. Resist, submit, draw nigh, cleanse our hearts and our hands. It is a choice. Verse number 10, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord and he shall lift you up. Humility is imperative for you and I to have a submitted heart. Here's another quote. Freedom that comes with submission is the ability to always lay down the terrible burden of always needing to get our own way. Let me read it again. The freedom that comes with submission is the ability to lay down the terrible burden of always needing to get our own way. Matthew 18 says, whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Humility is imperative to have a submitted heart. Humility means you're willing to put others ahead of yourselves. It means that you're willing to not lift yourself up at the expense of others. Paul's testimony in Galatians 2, verses 20. Let's just turn back to that. Galatians 2. Galatians 2 and verse number 20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Is that your testimony this morning? That what? No, I was going to say we don't matter. We do matter. But we have to somehow move ourselves off the reality that we are not living to ourselves. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life, the things we do, the places we go, what we do, how we spend our life. I live in the flesh. I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Back to our text in James chapter 4. Verse number 11, it says these words, speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. A submitted heart is an individual that doesn't spend 1 second of their life gossiping about other people or tearing other people down. Remember, the definition of submit is a voluntary attitude of giving in, cooperating, assuming responsibility, and carrying a burden. We need to be a people that is submitted to God and not gossiping and tearing each other down. A great test of a submitted heart is to understand and appreciate the perspective and opinions of our brothers and our sisters in church. That is the greatest test of a submitted heart, to understand and appreciate the perspective and opinions of others. Romans chapter 14 plays into this a little bit. I'd like to read that. Romans 14, verse 10 through 13. Romans 14, verse number 10. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, As I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then, every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Let us not therefore judge one another any more, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block on occasion to fall in his brother's way. We need to be careful. We need to be mindful of how we relate to each other in the church and in our communities. It matters what we say. It matters how we say it. It matters what we think. Our attitudes spring from deep within our heart. Are they submitted to God or are they submitted to the devil? It is a serious thing how we talk and how we act and how we relate to each other. Ephesians 5:21 says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Are we submitted to each other as a church family? Let's go to some examples in Scripture. Let's go to the book of Jonah. I know many of you have maybe found yourselves in a place where you wanted to run the other way. I know I have many times, and I'm ashamed at how many times I have wanted to flee from what God had asked me to do. James 1 and verse number 1. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up from before me. But it says that Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid a fare thereof and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. As you read the scripture this morning, as you think about your life, as you think about what God has asked you to do, do you ever want to flee from the presence of the Lord? I guess that thought just shook me this morning as I thought about trying to understand and grapple with responsibility and what God has asked me to do or what God has asked you to do. May we never want to flee from the presence of the Lord. Have I ever done this in real life? Could God look at my life and say, Dwight has run from the presence of me because of what I ask him to do? I pray that God would forgive me for ever running. It says it twice here, that he went away from the presence of God. What does God ask you to do? Has he asked you to arise and go do something? Go be something. What does he ask you to do? Many of you assumed new responsibilities here in June at our reorganization. God chose you to pick up that Sunday school book and to go teach. What has God asked me to do? Let's go to the book of Exodus, to Moses. I know we just studied about him in our Sunday school lesson. But I thought, you know, we have a testimony. There's a reality that we want with all our heart to do what God wants us to do. And in Exodus 3 here in verse number 4, it says, And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. We want that. We say that. We say, God, here am I. God, I'm ready to do it. God, whatever it is, if you want to touch my health, my finances, my home, whatever it is, God, here am I. But oh, when things really start to happen, what do we do? God said, and he said, Draw not hither. Put off thy shoes, verse 5, from thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And it says, And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. His heart was still right. He was still looking at God as someone that he wanted. He said, Here am I. And then God said, This is what I want you to do. And we know the whole list of excuses that Moses gave him. And again, God said in verse number 14, go down to verse number 14 of chapter 3. And it says, And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. Powerful verses. And if you don't have them underlined, underline them. Write them down. Find them, because you're going to need them in life. I am that I am. God established to Moses who he was. He told Moses in distinct words how it would go and what to say. But Moses pushed back. He said, I can't. I'm not able to speak. You know the story well. You know, as I pondered these verses, or this verse here in number 14, my mind went back 25 years ago to the living room of our house in North Carolina. There's a hospital bed. My sister's dying of cancer. And these words are on the wall. Written in beautiful calligraphy, I believe is how you say it. The words, I am that I am. God's words to us as a family. The night that she passed away, that motto, that plaque, somebody had wrote it for us, for her. You know, when it comes to touching our lives, our things, our stuff, our health, our families, whatever it is, I think many times we're like Moses and we push back and I can't do it. We know who God is, but we cannot grab a hold of it and believe it and surrender and submit to it. I am that I am. Now we know that this ended better for Moses here. He got his feet under him a little bit. In chapter 4 and verse 14 it says, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses, and he said, is not Aaron the Levite thy brother? I know that he can speak well, and also behold, now he cometh forth to meet thee, and when he seeth thee, he will be glad in his heart. Moses submitted to what God asked him. There was a change. God was not happy. Aaron was now involved, but note Moses' words here in chapter 4 of Exodus, verse 18. And Moses went, returned to Jethro his father-in-law, and said unto him, let me go. That was the start, or maybe the end, of a submitted heart. He was willing to go. Yes, he lost a lot. But the Lord said unto Moses in verse 19, go return unto Egypt, for all the men are dead which sought thy life. Let me go, I pray thee, and return unto my brethren, was his testimony after God was worked in his heart and his life. May I have that testimony? When I don't want to go, when I don't want to be or say or do, may I be willing. Let me go. Let me be a part of this. Let me do what you ask me to do. Genesis 6, we have another example. Genesis 6, we're going to start in verse 13. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Rooms thou shalt make in the ark, and shall pitch it within and without with pitch. We're not going to take the time to read all of it. Down in verse number 22, I've got it underlined in my Bible. It says, thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him, so did he. Is that my testimony? God give him an impossible task. Well, it wasn't impossible because he did it, but God had to help him. I don't know how the process went as he looked at the project in front of him in his time. As he looked at that project, it had to be very, very discouraging. Friday morning, my dad and my twin brother and my older brother and Keaton and my twin brother's son, we got together and we built Wendell a house, or we started building his house, putting metal, finished metal on the roof and on the sides. And we worked together. We had saws. We had energy, we had a vision, we knew what we wanted to get done, and we worked together. About 2 o'clock in the afternoon, the rain came, and I mean, it rained. As I look at this project that God gave to Noah, and these short verses here, God said the world's going to end. Everybody's going to die, but you and your family, this is what you need to do. And it says, thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. Now, we knew when it started raining Friday that we could quit. Wasn't a problem. We got under the roof. We talked. We laughed. We had an enjoyable time. And everything was fine because we knew there wasn't going to be a flood again. Do we recognize how God is involved with what he asked us to do? Noah knew God on a level few people have or do. I believe I can say that. He never questioned God in the scripture. He said, thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him, so did he. One more I want to look at in Genesis 22. You know who it is. Genesis 22 and verse number 1. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said what? He said, behold, here I am. He had no idea what God was going to ask him to do. He had no idea what was ahead of him. And he said, take thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went to the place which God had told him. No question. I don't know what was going through his mind. None of us do. But it says, behold, here am I. And it says he got up early and left. Verse 10, and Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. And as I look at this story, do we ever allow God to take us to the place after we said, here I am, take us to the place where he answers in a way we never saw coming? We know the story, how he turned around and in the thicket was caught something that he laid on. We know the story. Here am I. Luke 22, example of Jesus. Luke 22 and verse 42. Verse 41, it says, he was withdrawn from them a stone's cast and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. There appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. The greatest example of a submitted heart that you have on record in your Bible is Jesus, as your sins and my sins weighed his shoulders down, burdened him to the point of these great, as it were, great drops of blood. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Does that flow out of a heart that is submitted? I believe it does. How are you finding your heart this morning? Is there room for growth in your submission to God Almighty? I stand before you this morning and I say mine is. There is room for growth in my heart in submission to God. Romans 15, a few closing scriptures. Romans 15 and verse 30 through 33. Paul shows us here how to submit to God's will by understanding the purpose, by understanding the prayer and the peace in the will of God. See if you can get this out of these verses. Romans 15 and verse 30. Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in your prayers to God for me, that I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea, and that my service which I have for Jerusalem may be accepted of the saints, that I may come unto you with joy by the will of God, and may with you be refreshed. Now the God of peace be with you all. As you take steps to grab a hold of submission, understand the joy and the peace and the strength that comes from a submitted heart. John Bunyan gives us a quote, "Prayer is a sincere, sensible, affectionate pouring out of the heart or soul to God through Christ in the strength and assistance of the Holy Ghost for such things as God has promised. Note this, and according to the word of God, for the good of the church, with submission in faith to the will of God." That was his quote, and that is what I want to leave with you this morning. As you consider your life, as I consider my life, when it comes to submission, it is the way of strength and of peace. It is the way of relationships. It is the way the church is going to move forward. The gospel is going to be spread larger and wider if his people can be submitted. Shall we stand together for prayer? Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your presence. We thank you for the scripture that you have allowed us to have and freely read and understand. Thank you for your spirit, Lord. Thank you for the opportunity to meet with our church family. Thank you for the love that is evident here for each other. Thank you for the many prayers that are offered for each other. Thank you for the stability and the security of unity, of brotherhood, of community. Lord, this morning I bring each one that is gathered in this building to you. Lord, you know our hearts at a level none of us do, even our own. And Lord, as we think about our submission to you, we think about our heart, our openness. Lord, may we be completely submitted. Lord, you know my heart. Lord, you know the things that I've struggled with today, yesterday, last week, and last month. Lord, you know that you have given us everything we need to say with confidence, here am I. Lord, if there's someone here this morning that is grappling with those words, may you touch them. May you speak to them. May you work with them. May you help them to find their place of submission. Lord, I pray for each one who's struggling with any infirmity here this morning, whether it's emotional, physical, financial, relational, whatever it is, Lord, you know. I pray that you would work a miracle in their life. Help them to honestly and sincerely draw nigh to you, that you may draw nigh to them. Help us, Lord, to resist the devil in every area of life that he so persistently throws our way. Lord, again, I want to bring the little ones to you this morning, sitting on the laps of their moms and their dads. Lord, they're innocent. They look up at their parents as their source of life. May you bless them with health. Bless them that they can grow to be a man or a woman of God. Lord, I want to bring the parents to you this morning, moms and dads, as they have been given the responsibility of leading their homes, of guiding their homes, leading out in this subject of submission. I pray that you would bless each one this morning in a special way. Lord, I want to bring our young people to you. Lord, I want to thank you for them. Lord, some are missing from our group this morning. We pray for them especially as they travel home today. May you give them safety according to thy will. Lord, bless them with a desire to love and to serve you and to want with all of their heart to say in confidence, here am I, to be open to you, to be submitted to you. We pray for grandmas and grandpas here this morning. Lord, that they would open their lives to you and say, here am I, in whatever capacity you are calling them to do. Bless them in a special way. Be with them, help them, encourage them. May they feel your presence in their life. Lord, a blessing on each one and a blessing on this day. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.